Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The much anticipated second installment of the powerful observational documentary series Our Law, which explores the relationship between police and First Nations peoples, will premiere on NITV and SBS on Thursday, the 9th of May at 8:30 p.m. This 8-part docu-series continues to break new ground, privy to frontline police operations, squad car conversations, high-stakes decision-making, and the powerful personal journeys of First Nations police officers and recruits around Australia. Joining me to give us some insights into the documentary and its significance is one of the officers featured in the series, Acting Sergeant Patricia Pedro, based on Thursday Island. Sergeant Patricia Pedro, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, all the way from the Torres Strait. I'm looking forward to the series airing on the 9th of May.
Can you tell us about your background and what inspired you to join the police force?
I'm a proud First Nations woman, so I'm Aboriginal descent. So my mob is from far north Queensland, from Townsville, Burdekin area, so Bindle, Wakaruthwa tribe, so which is my great-grandmother's tribe. They were taken from their tribal lands up north and they were dumped in Sherbet as part of colonisation took place. They lived under the Aboriginal Protection Act. So that's why my family ended up in Sherbet. What inspired me to join the police? When I was in high school, I had the opportunity to go to Brisbane. We went to all the universities and we went to the police academy. This is where the seed was planted for me. As we all know, the relationships between police and First Nations people is volatile to this day. A lot of our people don't really like police, and I thought this particular profession, wearing the uniform, being a position of authority, I thought to myself, as an Aboriginal person, this would make people see me differently, I suppose, and be on the same level as a non-Indigenous person. So this is how I saw myself and what sort of motivated me to join. So I went to the police academy. I seen all these white police wearing uniforms, and I thought to myself, yeah, that's what I want to be, and that's what I went on to do.
So you work on country, and how do you approach policing in First Nations communities differently compared to non-Indigenous communities?
Well, it's very different. Policing in a community is very different from obviously policing in Brisbane. Obviously, I lived and worked in the Torres Strait being based on Thursday Island since 2010. So in community, obviously, you live in community, you build relationships, you build a rapport with the people, you have to live amongst the community. So it is a very different style of policing. So you have to really work with the community, and it's about being proactive and reactive. If I can say that, it's about working with other government departments, NGOs. It is about working with the people, grassroots level people, like my people. Whereas in Brisbane, you can do that to some extent, but you know, you can really work in one division and live in another. You're not really part of the community. Obviously, Brisbane is a big urban area. It is very rewarding and satisfying policing my own people in a small community like Thursday Island and servicing the Outer Islands.
Now, the documentary Our Law highlighted the importance of community engagement in policing. Can you share with us some of your experiences building trust and relationships with Indigenous communities?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that I helped to implement in the community up here was so I identified like there was a lack of education around domestic violence and most recently about coercive control. So I had an idea of having a cultural way of exchanging knowledge through yarning circles with our people up here. And so I proposed this idea to the OIC at Thursday Island, and we went out and we did yarning circles on the Outer Island. We work collaboratively with Queensland Health, More Across Gear, which is another women's organisation, and other government departments and organisations jumped on board as well. And we service the Outer Islands, and we conducted these yarning circles in a cultural way of just going down to the beach, sitting around in a circle, and then me and other police as well. And the chips of the Torres Strait Islander Police Liaison Officers in the Outer Islands, working to educate people in the Torres Strait about what the domestic violence is and obviously coercive control and different types of abuse. And we've had great results in terms of increased reporting earlier, because obviously DV was being reported to us at a real crisis point. But now people obviously know what DV is and can recognise the signs quite early, and then are obviously feel comfortable enough to contact police and report police before it gets to that point, if I could say that. So it's really building the relationships and working with the communities on the ground, identifying the needs, and then obviously working together to ensure that there is safety. Because really that is our core business for police, obviously, is community safety.
Community safety and culturally safe approach to policing, I believe. And what are some of the unique challenges you face as an Indigenous police officer, and how do you navigate these challenges?
There are a lot of challenges. Obviously, I'm policing my own people and my own family. As I said before, a lot of First Nations people do not like police, and it's because of colonization, assimilation, and the act that police played in removing our families and removing our kids. So that's something that obviously is still very raw for many First Nations people, including my own family. So a lot, I even have it in my own family where, they ask why I'm doing this job and have to deal with family. And, I have a job to do, and that's first and foremost, and that's keeping the community safe. And if I have to, do my job, that's what I have to do. If I have to arrest my own family, that's what I have to do. But, it does come with a lot of challenges, and, I have to deal with that. I chose this job. I chose to wear this uniform. But I think, the pros are what, there's pros and cons, and I think it's better me being in the service and wearing this uniform and helping my people, even if that means sometimes I have to arrest them.
Yeah, you're doing your bit to serve your community. But how do you think the police force can better support and empower Indigenous officers like yourself?
We can be utilised in a way that can enhance service delivery. I know PLOs are one way, having First Nations officers like myself. Well, the work that I'm currently doing in the training space is helping to develop and deliver cultural capabilities training. So I've been heavily involved in that since last year, and so me and a team of other First Nations officers and PLOs. So this is a great way that this service really has empowered us and they've utilised us in a way that is really benefiting the organisation, because through cultural capability and educating our colleagues, we are really enhancing and making the service delivery, especially for First Nations people, to be more efficient and effective.
Yeah, and one issue that's recurrent that comes really often in the media, in the reports, in the communities, the over-incarceration of Indigenous people. What role can Indigenous police officers, in your view, play in addressing systemic issues like this one?
I think we've got a... I think we play a big role in... and playing positive role models. I think if they see me and the others in the series wearing the uniform and working for our people, I think it is a good thing. I think that if we can encourage other younger people to join, that it will benefit our people, not only the service, but it will better our people, because we ourselves as First Nations people and officers, I come from two angles. Like, I'm a police officer and a First Nations woman. So I come with both lenses, and I can use that to my advantage when I'm dealing with my own people. So we have deep understanding of all the social issues. I think we can help to stop young people from offending or DV and really helping, our family to break the cycle, so to speak, or helping a young person to get out of the cycle of reoffending. Because they see they can work with their own people and they can see their own doing well in a uniform.
Let's go back to yourself and your involvement in the place and in this documentary. Can you tell us about any program or initiatives you've been involved with that aim to improve police-community relations in First Nations communities?
Like I said earlier, I've been heavily involved in the implementation of cultural capability training, but the service has only implemented from the Commission of Inquiry, which is really a step in the right direction, I think, for our organisation. You know, having it co-delivered, co-designed and co-delivered by First Nations people within our organisation is a great initiative because it's really authentic and it's really, we've done community consultation from all over the state, from the Torres Strait, Cape, Mount Isa, right down to the Brisbane region. So we really have talked to a lot of people and got a lot of advice and input from elders as well, all the community justice groups from all over Queensland, and really helped to develop a great training package for recruits. And now I'm currently working on this training going statewide. So it's something that I've been heavily involved with, and I help as one of the lead facilitators, and doing a lot of training when I do the training. So I think it is very... It is very good training, and I think that it's beneficial because it can only enhance our service delivery, because all of our officers, and sworn and unsworn, will have a better understanding of First Nations people. Because let's be quite honest, police come across our people on a daily basis.
And you kind of touched on what I'm going to ask you now, but I'll maybe ask you to elaborate a little bit on that. How do you balance your Indigenous identity and cultural responsibilities with your role as a police officer?
I'm not going to lie. It is very hard. You know, as I said before, I am a First Nations woman, and I'm married to a Torres Strait Islander man. And so there's lots of cultural responsibilities that I need to adhere to on a daily basis, especially when there's sorry business, sad news. I have that cultural knowledge, and I can be culturally sensitive as well as doing my job. So I just think it's about balancing those two, and it's about talking to community and being transparent and really working with community where you can. But it is hard. It's quite a balancing act. But I think, you know, it's all about showing respect. If I show respect, most of the time I get respect back. But, you know, policing is a hard job, and sometimes not everything goes to plan, and it is quite a balancing act for me, yes. But, you know, I think I gained strength and knowledge from my ancestors. You know, they had it way harder than me. They lived under the Aboriginal Protection Act. They had no lives, really. You know, they were controlled. And I'm in this position where I can really be a role model and work with our people.
And what advice would you give to other Indigenous people considering a career in law enforcement?
I would say give it a go. If you've ever been interested, you know, it is a career that's diverse. You know, you can be a detective, you can be water police, you can be dog squad, you can be mounted police. There are just so many options within the police. And I think for our people, you know, there is definitely a place for our people within the service, you know, as sworn or unsworn, as a PLO or as a sworn officer. I think we need more young people to join, because I think we need our own people to police our own people, because they have the understanding. They really do. I would love to see a young Torres Strait Island person come back to Thursday Island and work and police. That would be something really great, and I hope I get to see that one day.
And looking to the future, what changes would you like to see in policing to better serve Indigenous Australians?
We're heading in the right direction, I think. We've started with this cultural capabilities training. I think that it will take generations to come to see really big changes, but I just want to see my people treated fairly. Like anybody else in the community, it shouldn't matter that they're First Nation. You know, we have a duty of care to the community, and our people are part of the community, and they should be treated like anybody else. So hopefully the service delivery will be more effective and efficient, and I think it will be, but I think it's going to take a long time because, as you all know, change is hard and it takes a long time, but I think we're on the right track.
Patricia Pedro, anything you'd like to add to the conversation before I let you go?
Thank you for the opportunity for letting me be on radio. I'm really looking forward to the series coming out. Being on camera, being followed everywhere, even on the plane and the boat, was a big challenge for me, but I think it was for the greater good. Because everything I do, and I think every other First Nations officer will say this, we not only work for ourselves, we work for our family, we work for our community, and we work for our people. We have an obligation to pass on cultural knowledge. And I'm doing this in a professional capacity. And I hope that more First Nations people join as a result of the series.
Sergeant Patricia Pedro, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about your participation in Our Law, a groundbreaking documentary series which explores the relationship between police and First Nations peoples. It's been really a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.